KOAK Radio.
Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's now 11 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock, and I'm joined by Montgomery County Sheriff John Spinaugle. Officer, grab that.
Yep.
Sheriff?
Yep.
How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great.
Nice to see you.
Nice out. It's going to be windy today.
A little windy.
I am tired of the wind.
Yeah.
I like it's just knocked down a little bit.
Yeah.
But rain coming, hopefully.
We need some rain.
We need it bad.
It's dry.
Yep.
Are you seeing a lot of big equipment still rolling around the county?
It's going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a few guys that are completely done, and I think things are ahead of schedule myself. For whatever reason, it feels like things, our hay looks like it could be cut already.
I saw one hay cut. I was headed to Clarinda the other day, and I saw one, operation out in the field cutting hay and baling it, actually.
Yep.
So.
When we're all grass, and, usually it's mid-June before we're baling, but we're going to let this next rain go through and maybe see.
Yeah.
It might be done before the 1st of June, which would be really nice.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Staying busy?
Sure. Steady. We're staying steady. Yeah.
I like steady. That's a nice
way to put it. Honestly, I don't think there is such a thing. And I'll tell you why I think this. Because the other day we didn't have much for census in the jail. It's been down,
mm-hmm.
3, 4, 2, whatever. I looked yesterday, and now we're back up to like 10 or 12.
What?
So it's not steady. It's a roller coaster.
It's always.
Yeah.
All right. Chief Deputy Rick Mitchell with me as well. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, pull that mic up a little bit closer. So steady.
Going
well?
Steady. Going well.
And how long have you been with the department?
Since 2008.
2008. Quite a while.
I have.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the canine tournament here, just a golf tournament that's coming up here in just a minute. But how do you account for that? Does the weather account for any of those, the high census, low census, people being out, nice weather, people are out more than when it's going to be rotten like this weekend or what? Does it matter?
Go ahead.
No rhyme or reason?
No rhyme or reason. Doesn't matter if there's a full moon or not. So.
It just happens, right?
It just happens.
Was that last year that rained or the year before?
For the tournament?
Oh, you're talking for the tournament?
Yeah. For the tournament.
Yeah, we did have some rain last year.
How long have you been doing the tournament, the golf tournament?
This is the 12th annual.
Yep. Tell me about it. Why do you do it? What's it for? What's the purpose?
Simply just to raise funds for canine, for our canine units. We have two dogs. When we go to replace those dogs, they are costly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't end because you're putting training hours in, equipment into our patrol vehicles, vet care, schoolings. It just goes on and on.
What is the advantage of a canine unit? What is it you really like to have? Why do you have a canine unit? What's the advantage?
Just another tool on our belt.
Yeah.
For narcotic sniffs, apprehensions. We use our dogs for quite a bit of different things.
I think they are remarkable. I was kind of hoping you'd bring one out here today, to be honest with you. They are so cool, are they not?
No, we have two very good dogs. I don't think you'd want them in here in this small room with us, though.
I don't know. We have a Great Dane that comes on a regular basis, so yeah. But I mean, it is truly remarkable what they can do, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. We put them in situations that we train in situations that make it hard. They're problem solving situations and scenarios, and like I said, we do have two very good dogs. That
do your handlers who are your canine units? Tell me that currently you have two. They are
Drew Askey and Connor Jansky,
and their dogs are
Drew Askey's. He has a Dutch Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Bane. And Connor has a Belgian Malinois, which is Riddick.
How much training goes into, because there's a lot of training for the dog itself to get it even ready to go out to the patrol, right? Which is cost a lot of money and all of those things. But how about for your officers? Is training involved for them as well to get to be a canine officer?
Yeah, absolutely. When we get a dog, purchase a dog, you know, they do go through the training with the dog. Mm-hmm. It's more of building that bond with sure. each other as a team, because that's what they are, essentially, as a team. And it never ends. That training just continues.
It's ongoing all the time.
Yes, yes, it does.
What's the situation when you think we need to call a canine? Is it for suspected narcotics? Is someone's on foot running somewhere? Someone's being aggressive? When do you use it? All of the
above?
There
is criteria.
Okay.
And it just depends on the situation, the scenario.
Okay. Sheriff, you're wanting to say something.
No,
I can tell.
I'm fine. Yeah, he's doing good.
Have you ever thought about having, or somewhere a point in your career, did you ever think about having a canine?
I've had three.
Have you really?
Yeah. I had.
Oh, then I guess that'd be yes, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had. A couple didn't. I had Dixie the longest. That was my first one. Okay. That was back in, I don't know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long
yeah,
time
you're
ago.
Getting pretty old, Sheriff.
I know.
But you started, so you've had three. Obviously
yeah,
a believer.
I've had three. I had one didn't make the street. She washed out. And then I had another one with health problems that wasn't on the street.
Explain
long.
That to me. How did she wash out?
Well, I can tell you exactly on this one. So that was my second canine after Dixie had to retire. And we brought her home, and I wanted to do something different with this dog. So a lot of times, what would you say, Rick? We usually get our dogs, the handlers will get their first dog at, what, 18 months?
Yep.
The dog's 18 months, 20 months old. I brought her home as a baby.
Okay.
About 12 weeks old. Got her from the same trainer that would down in Kansas where I got Dixie. And I worked with her, brought her to, you know, work every day. As a puppy,
mm-hmm.
and trained, you know, tried to socialize really well. She was super nice, and I don't know what happened, but just one day, a light switch went off in that dog's head, and you couldn't control her. She was mean.
Yeah.
The nicest pup you've ever seen, and then she just turned mean.
You know, some dogs do have that. They hit a wall, yep. or they hit a point.
Yep.
That happens a lot with bird dogs. I know they hit a level, and it's like, they either advance and excel, or that's just it. That's
yeah.
all they got.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, and her demeanor turned where, I mean, you couldn't have her around people.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, you know, they have to be disciplined for that, too.
Yeah.
So.
How long? So if you get the typically 18 months, you said, when you get them, how long before they go on the street and on patrol? Do you work with them a period of time, or do you go right away?
No, they start out as a pup.
Yeah.
As soon as they're walking, the vendors that we get them from,
they're training.
They're yeah. training them. So
they're ready to go at 18 months.
When we go to select a dog, once we put it through that selection test, we're going to pick this dog, and we start the process. It's usually month to 2 months for a training course.
Yeah.
And that, where you're just working on that, and that's why I say it never ends, as in the training, because even though when they're done, that doesn't mean that with that school, that doesn't mean they're done, because they still got to continue
yeah.
working with them, just to, like I said, we put them in situations to test them, and
they are amazing animals. They really
absolutely.
Are
yeah.
I mean, and how many people that would otherwise maybe try to run or flee, or when the dog is there, it's a different story, is it not?
For some.
I feel like there's a story
no,
there.
No, it is a big deterrent.
100%. I know it would be for me.
I've been in situations where I didn't get the dog out, but I put it over the PA as
yeah.
in we will be deploying canine, and
yeah.
I'm giving up. So,
yeah.
I
mean, well, let's yes. be honest. A lot of times when you're dealing with people, they're not thinking clearly. Right?
Yeah.
Many times.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
So, yeah.
Most of the time, nobody wants to get bit.
No.
No.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, they're a very effective tool.
So, very cool. So, we have, what are we doing? I thought we were going to be in trouble there, Sheriff. So, I don't know. Melanie comes in and
just going to throw me out.
She just kind of takes over sometimes, yeah. you notice. So, again, I think the training involved in that and having the opportunity to watch a little bit of that occasionally. Their nose, their relationship that they develop with their handler. I mean, it is truly remarkable, and I think we're blessed to have some. How do you choose? Yep. Because I know you see German Shepherds, you see Belgian Malinois, you mentioned a Dutch Shepherd.
Yep.
How do you choose? What's the...
Kind of the handler preference. As in some guys, you know, between a Shepherd and a Belgian Malinois, there's personality differences there.
Belgian Malinois are something.
Land sharks.
Yes.
That's what they call
they
them.
Are.
Land sharks and fur missiles.
They are.
They're very fast and they don't slow down.
No.
Shepherd, I explain them as they're kind of, they're not slow, but they're more methodical with doing things. And it just, they go, there's a different speed between the both.
Fun to watch, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay, so let's talk. I kind of got distracted there because I just think they're awesome. I mean, I really am a fan of just, I mean, I told you off air, bird dogs, duck dogs.
Right.
I mean, what they can do, and then you take that now to the level that you guys use them. Are your handlers? I mean, it is truly remarkable.
Yeah.
I think they're amazing animals. So let's talk a little bit about the tournament. Do you have space open for this golf tournament? Are you full sponsorships? Where are we at with all that?
We, as in team wise, we did have a couple canceled. We do have two spots open.
Okay.
They usually fill up fast. The tournament's June 6th. It is over at the Villisca Country Club over in Villisca. We do have whole sponsors available if somebody's interested in doing that. And then if someone would want, we do have a silent auction that goes on during the tournament where mm-hmm. people could come in and bid on items. We've had people donate baskets, different items for that mm-hmm. purpose. We also have the gun raffle that we do every year. Can purchase tickets up to that point of the tournament because that's when we do the drawing for the gun raffle.
Yeah.
And so on. So,
how would one inquire about either the sponsorship, if they wanted to be a sponsor, if they wanted to donate, how do they get in touch with you?
Just give me a call at the office at 712-623-5107. And then just ask for Rick and make it happen.
You'll get them in touch with what they need to do and make it happen. So
yes, sir.
Very cool. I think it's a great thing. What's the sponsorship? Is it like a whole sponsor or just a tournament sponsor? Or what's the sponsorship available?
It's a whole sponsor.
Okay.
For the tournament.
All right. So reach out, and all the money's raised, all the proceeds will go back to supporting the canine units and all that entails, which is a lot, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That goes into, so over the years, that goes into a fund that does not go back at the general fund. We actually budget out of that fund. And the tournament raises good money. And over the years, it's been very, very good. The turnout, the sponsorship has been overwhelming. And it has allowed us to reduce the canine fund or the canine program is not fully self-sustaining, but it has helped out the budget a lot.
Okay.
I've been able to reduce some line items for the canine. It still somewhat comes out of the budget as well. But so this money is put into a revolving fund where it doesn't, at the end of the fiscal year, it doesn't go back into the general fund. It mm-hmm. stays in this account and is used for this account only.
So if you really want to support the canine units that we have, this is a great way to do it.
Absolutely. And we have, and not only the tournament, we have people that donate throughout the year that just want to give something to the canine unit. And, you know, I try to let everybody know that this money stays here. It stays for this purpose only.
Yeah.
So knowing that your money's not going back to the general fund that you donate, yeah.
Right. That's a cool thing. It really is nice.
Yeah. And it really helps out the sheriff's office.
So you have two canine units now.
Yeah.
How do you determine that? You want two, three, four? Does it matter? Does that your officers have expressed interest in doing it? How do you determine
that? A little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, in the beginning, when I came on, we only had one dog. I'm trying to think.
What's a dog cost for this? I mean, just curious.
A lot more than it used to.
I mean, it gets to be pretty pricey, doesn't it?
Because
there's a lot of training that goes into them.
Yeah.
15,000,
20,000?
15, I think. Yeah. Then you have your training on top.
Then there's training and everything else.
And then they will – what's your service life? I mean, how long will they – I realize that it's dependent on the individual, but You'll get several good years out of those.
Oh, yeah,
out of those absolutely. Canines.
I would say, depending on the dog, you could go up to 9-10 years old.
So, yeah.
But that dog's training a lot every month. So, you know, they're very healthy and very athletic, but that also in the later years.
It's just like people.
Yep.
You train and you work out, and eventually at some point it starts to catch up with you a little bit.
Yeah. And all the training they do, it does wear on them just like it would us.
Sure. Absolutely. So would encourage people to reach out, contribute, learn more about it. I think it's a great thing that we have
absolutely here
in Montgomery County. I really do. Montgomery County Sheriff John Spinagle and Chief Deputy Rick Mitchell with me this morning talking about the canine tournament that's coming up here very soon. Okay. Can we switch gears for just a minute?
I don't know. Where are we going?
Well, I'm just curious. just reading it up, what's going on, I'm going to say throughout the country.
Sure.
You have a lot of talk about drugs. Methamphetamine is one that hit the Midwest really hard for a period of time. Is it still at the levels it was? And then the other one that we hear a lot about is fentanyl. What do you see?
Well, the drug of choice around here is still methamphetamine.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most common, next
the
to marijuana,
cheap, accessible, or why? What's the...
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, both. It's become, from back 20 years ago or even longer, it's cheaper now than it was then.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's actually more pure. We're not, you know, back in the days, back in the early 2000s, the late 90s and early 2000s, we had a lot of meth labs where that was all home labs that was done around here when we had the pseudoephedrine problem.
You're still, but we're not, it's not locally produced anymore as much?
No.
Where's it come from?
I don't even know if it would be 1%. You know, there may be a few out there that are still doing it the old school way, but it's all coming across our borders.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Because I think, and I attribute a lot of that to, one, the pseudoephedrine laws that came out several years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know if you still have to sign for it now or not. I don't know. I don't buy it. But, you know, it got very strict.
Yeah.
So that cut that down. Well, I would imagine, you know, the cartels and whatnot, they see this.
Mm-hmm.
So the demand is still there. So they're going to mass produce.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think most all of our methamphetamine now, if not all of it, at one point in time, it comes across our borders.
Okay.
Period.
Do you see fentanyl? Have you seen it?
Not so a much lot.
We're pretty fortunate in that regard, I guess.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of time. It's probably because of demand and availability is what I'm going to kind of attribute it to.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like there was years ago, I was at a school and it kind of showed the path of all the drugs, like, and I'm going to use heroin for an example.
Mm-hmm.
And it started down in, you know, coming across through Florida, over on the East Coast, like in there. And it made this big loop and it went up top of Minnesota and come down and it kind of stopped. It's because the supply wasn't there. The demand was there, but it never reached Iowa because we don't see heroin here.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Our main problem is meth.
Okay.
And then, you can't ever leave out prescription drugs.
Yeah.
It's a highly abused deal.
The other thing that we hear a lot about is scams. And it seems like recently I have been getting a lot of texts, emails, phone calls, which I kind of, if I don't recognize the number, many times I just don't. I know that's bad, but I just get so tired of that. But what do you do about that? I don't even know what to do.
To be honest with you, the only thing we can do is educate.
Yeah.
We don't have the resources.
I mean, it's huge.
They're not. Most of those probably aren't even in our country.
Right.
You know,
Jamaica is a huge spot for scamming people, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole industry in Jamaica.
It doesn't surprise. Yeah.
So anyway.
But really the only thing you can do is educate people. You know, you try to tell them and I don't know how, you know, you see publications or you hear things here and there, but there's got to be a way to get it out there, to get it through some of these people that listen, this is a scam, you know.
Yeah.
We get calls about scams regular.
Yeah.
And some of it is so ridiculous. But it's almost, what's bad is it's almost, you said you got a bunch of calls or texts.
Yeah.
It's become the norm.
It happens all the time.
All the time. Whether it's your email, your computer, an ad on your computer or on your phone.
I've been apparently I owe a toll from some state that I haven't been to, and I just, you know, if I don't pay my toll, I'm going to be arrested or something. I don't know. I thought that's why you're showing up this morning when you got here.
Yeah.
You finally got me. But that was one that went around not too long ago.
Yep.
If you owe the toll fee.
Usually the toll or the citation.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
it's, but you know, the thing is if people would listen and look at things, you can pick them out pretty good. You know, the ticket one that came around, did you see it?
Yep. Yeah. I did.
Well, if you looked, it was a seal at the top or something. I mean, it wasn't even correct.
Yeah.
So if you'd, you know, if you just look into things before you leap, you know, take a second look at it.
Some of the ones that concern me, and I know that you guys have, with the voice generators now through AI and the phone calls that, and this is so-and-so, and I need your help to bump. That's the one that scares me, especially for older people trying to help their grandson or their granddaughter.
Yep.
I don't know if we've seen that or not, but my goodness, that's a scary one to me.
I don't know that we've seen that quite yet, but I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah,
and
it's scary stuff.
AI, period, I think is scary.
Yeah,
it can be used in so many wrong ways.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of them.
We haven't seen the scams off of AI come yet.
Right.
I mean, there. I think that's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Big one, especially as AI develops and gets better.
Yeah. And it's only getting better.
Because it's going to.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. So, well, and like you say, we're not insulated from all that stuff, but sometimes it is a little slower to make it where we're at. But
that's why we live where we're at.
<That's> exactly.
Because of a lot of things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it be the shootings that are 60 miles away every day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, this is why
Omaha, Des Moines, you hear a lot of that. Stabbing, shootings, all of those sorts of things. So, all right. What else do we need to touch on, Sheriff?
Oh, I don't
know. What's going on? Are we going to do a stakeout today? Or
no stakeouts today.
No stakeouts undercover. If you need me, I'm available.
I'll call.
Not today, but other than that, give me a call.
Other than today.
Yeah.
We got to go pick up a vehicle. I know that. We had one, had to get a little repair done on the inside, so we're going to go pick that up today and just keep pounding away.
There you go. Deputy?
Yep.
Busy day? You never really know, do you?
You
never know. It can go haywire just in a second, can it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
All right.
We like the quiet days. We like the quiet days.
You enjoy those days.
That's a word we don't like using.
It all goes south when you mention that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Be careful when you're out and about through the county. I know we mentioned it earlier, but a lot of big equipment, really from here on out. There can be tractors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Trucks and whatnot, so be careful when you're out and about. So.
Well, hopefully everybody, they've had some great planning weather, so hopefully everybody gets it in the ground and we get our rain this weekend.
Yeah.
And then we get the rain throughout.
That'd be nice.
It would be nice.
That's for sure. All right, very good. Nice to see you, gentlemen. Anything
great
else?
Here. I don't have anything.
We got it?
I think we got it.
Reach out if they want
to
get involved
you.
In the tournament.
Absolutely.
Very good. Nice to see you. Make it a great day. Pleasure to visit with you.
You as well.
Montgomery County Sheriff John Spinagle and Chief Deputy Rick Mitchell with me this morning.
Houghton State Bank, we're here to make it easier. We offer a full range of banking services to help you.